Welcome to the Indie Film Hustle Podcast, episode number 351. Let your hustle be louder than your mouth. Anonymous.
Broadcasting from the back alley in Hollywood, it's the Indie Film Hustle Podcast, where we show you how to survive and thrive as an indie filmmaker in the jungles of the film biz. And here's your host, Alex Ferrari.
Welcome, my Indie Film Hustlers, to another episode of the Indie Film Hustle Podcast. I am your humble host, Alex Ferrari. Today's show is sponsored by FilmTools.com. Since 1996, FilmTools has been Hollywood's one-stop shop for all things production. No matter what your filmmaking needs, FilmTools has you covered when you need gear for your next shoot. Anytime I need anything really quickly, I go to FilmTools. They always have every single kind of production nugget and thing that I might need. No matter how small or big it is, they definitely have it. And this week, FilmTools is offering the Indie Film Hustle Tribe 5% off all purchases at FilmTools.com. Just use the coupon code IFHPOD, that's IFHPOD, at the checkout at FilmTools.com. Today's show is also sponsored by the Make Your Movie Bootcamp. You want to make a feature film, but you have no idea where to get started. I feel you because that's exactly where I was years ago when I first got started. But I finally decided to stop talking about making a movie and go out and just do it. I want to help filmmakers break through their own fears and show them the secret sauce on how to make a profitable feature film. So I decided to put together the Make Your Movie Bootcamp and condense all 25 years of my experience into a two-day intensive. And in the camp, I cover how to flesh out your idea, the screenwriting process, finding money, crowdfunding, directing your film, post-production workflows, marketing, submitting to film festivals, film deliverables, self-distribution secrets, and how not to get ripped off by predatory film distributors. Think of this as a jumpstart to your filmmaking career and a replacement from a very expensive film school. And I'll also have two special guests from the film industry talking about how to find money and distribution. This bootcamp will be held in Burbank, California on October 26th and 27th at the Hilton Garden Inn in downtown Burbank. If you want to get 20% off the bootcamp, just head over to mymbootcamp.com. That's Make Your Movie, or mymbootcamp.com. Now, before we get started, guys, I want to apologize for being a little late this week with this podcast because I have sprained my ankle. So I was laid up yesterday all day in bed, and it was not a good thing. So I am back. I'm still swollen. I'm still in pain, but I am here because I am dedicated to the tribe and making sure I put out good content every week. So I try not to let anything stop me. And in the course of over 350 episodes now, I've only missed a handful, and those are generally because of illnesses or injury of one way, shape, or form. But I am here today, and I want to talk to you guys about the future of what I think the future is of independent filmmaking, on how to actually make money with independent films, and moving forward, what we can do and how we can protect ourselves from outside influences and situations that will hurt our chances of actually making a living in this business. Now, it's no secret that, you know, the whole industry is really going through a major change right now. Film distributors, film studios, everyone's trying to figure things out because the landscape is changing almost on a monthly basis in regards to streaming, in regards to sell-through, DVDs, Blu-rays, SVOD, TVOD, AVOD, all sorts of different models are being tried. It is a crazy time. It's very much like the Wild Wild West, and film distributors are having a hell of a time trying to generate revenue because the ways that they used to do it, which was just to go to AFM or sell huge territories or pre-sales to get your movies produced, or there's so many different things that were being used before that are not as relevant today. You know, DVDs used to be the saving grace of this industry. They were just selling so much. We were making so much money on DVDs and then Blu-rays that, you know, it just stopped. You could always make money with a movie. Those days are gone. DVD sales are anemic at this point. Do they still sell? Yes, but they've been in a decline year after year for many, many years. And now a lot of people always talk about self-distribution and like that's the future for independent filmmaking. And there is an element to that without question. Controlling your movie, controlling your IP, controlling your projects and the revenue that comes in from those projects is key without question. But self-distribution is not what it was all cracked up to be if this entire debacle with distributor has shown anybody. You know, you trust a company to put your movie out there. And if that company goes down, what happens to you? Your money's lost. You can't get access to your movie. You know, think about this, guys. Do you think this is the only time this is going to happen? Don't you think that this is a possibility that we're going to be here again 5 years from now with another company or another huge distribution company? That's happened before. Distribution companies have gone down. Filmmakers have lost money with distributors and with aggregators now specifically. So I always find it very weird putting my hard work into somebody else's hands. I am an entrepreneur by nature, and I've been self-employed, a freelancer for most of my career. I said multiple times I was fired from both jobs early on in my career as an editor, you know, because I just it wasn't for me. I was very proud of my firings. So I can't understand the process of a filmmaker spending $300,000-$500,000 on a movie, which is considered low budget. And after it's all done, they literally just hand it over to a film distributor, a sales agent, and hopes that they'll get some money back for it. Where in the world that we're living today and moving forward, nobody knows anything. There are no guarantees anymore. There, you know, there's very little things that work constantly with every situation. It doesn't, it's not existent anymore. So by doing this, by handing your movie over to someone who says, I know best, they don't know best. It's proven. Some of these big distributors, I'm not talking about the studios, they're at a different place. I'm talking about the independent world. Many of them are just trying to make it work. They're trying to make it happen. That's why a lot of these predatory distributors and even some very well-known distributors who will remain nameless in this episode, but are very well-known in the indie film community, are offering 15-year deals. 15-year deals. Why? Because they have no idea how they're going to recoup their money that they spend, or they have no idea how they're even going to generate money. They're trying to play the long game. They're like, well, maybe between now and 15 years, we'll figure something out, while the filmmaker's left holding the bag. That is the world we live in today. And by the way, guys, I want to make this very clear. All of the problems that independent filmmakers are having, film distributors are having, sales agents, to generate revenue in today's world and model is happening in a fairly good economic time. We are still in a good economic time. We are not in a recession or depression or financial collapse or crisis like we were in 2008. And the years afterwards. So I hate to break the news to anybody listening. We're due. We're actually late for another economic turn. We're probably a few years late. So do you think that this growth is going to keep happening in the rest of the economy? That it's just going to be money, money? There's already indicators saying, guys, watch out. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And the way the world is today, with there's so much uncertainty with, you know, things happening in Europe, things happening here domestically in the US, it's just a very unstable time in many ways. But our economy seems to be holding up as of right now. But what do you think is going to happen to all of these distributors, sales agents, production companies, film aggregators? What do you think is going to happen to them in a huge economic turn? Let's say 2008 happened again. I'm not wishing it by any stretch. I'm just kind of sounding an alarm. And it's not a conspiracy theory. Anybody listening out there like, oh, this Alex has gone crazy. He thinks it's a conspiracy theory. No, there is sound economic knowledge behind this. Look it up. There's a lot of indicators that are saying it. And just on a historical standpoint alone, it goes in cycles. Every 8 years, every 10 years, there's some sort of economic downturn. So we're due, we're late for our economic downturn. So it could happen tomorrow. It could happen in 2 years. But I think something's going to happen within that time period. Something somewhere is going to happen. So how do you think it's going to affect us? How do you think it's going to affect our industry? Do you think that film distributors, film aggregators, and sales agents, do you think these guys are going to be able to withstand a 2008 again? Or God forbid, something even worse than what happened in 2008? Do you? I'm honestly asking everybody. I want you guys to answer the question in your own head. What do you think is going to happen? Because right now, everyone's having a tough time in a good place, in a good economic environment. So what can we do? You know, I don't want to be doom and gloom and everything here. I wanted to bring this out, and I wanted to kind of put it out into the ecosystem of independent filmmaking so people start talking about this, because this is something that's going to really hurt all of us in the future. If we don't figure out how to make money, how to generate revenue from our film projects, we will not survive. Your dream of being a filmmaker, your dream of making a living from your art, from what you love to do, is in jeopardy because the models that worked before are not working now. 2 years ago, I was able to make thousands of dollars through TVOD, renting and selling This Is Meg. Those days are gone. The numbers from distributors that I've talked to, you could just see the absolute downturn of iTunes. iTunes is generating no money, barely any money for independent filmmaking, for independent films. Are the studios still doing well with TVOD at the moment? Yeah, they are. But I think that model will eventually go away as well. Right now, there's just not a lot of money being made in TVOD, where 2 years ago it was. Now the new thing is SVOD and AVOD. That's where a lot of money is being made. If you put your movie up on Prime, on Amazon Prime, you're going to probably make more money than if you put it up on, you know, rentals and purchases. Though if you're going to do proper distribution windowing and things like that, you could put it up for 2-3 weeks or a month for buying and renting to see if you can generate any sales. And after that, you could put it up on Amazon Prime, because again, the numbers and the data that I've been seeing is that money is being made more so on SVOD, and the new up-and-coming way of making money with films is AVOD, which is advertising video on demand, places like Tubi. And the reason why is because people are starting to get tired of all these subscriptions. So they're just watching, you know, they get their Roku, they open up Tubi, and they're watching movies or watching shows, and they're just dealing with the commercials. But that's where a lot of money is being made right now. But who knows what's going to happen in the next 6 months to a year? That could dry up. There's just always something. There's always a new technology, a new way the customer is his watching habits or their watching habits are changing. It's just so crazy. There's so many things. Next year, we're going to have Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, NBC Universal. I think Warner Brothers is coming out with one. Comcast is coming out with their own. There's multiple big time streaming services that are going to be coming out. How many of these streaming services do you think people are going to pay for? Like at a certain point, it's going to be like $150-$200 if you get everything, which is actually much more expensive than your old cable bill, which is what everyone cut the cable for, because they didn't want to spend so much on satellite and cable because it just got ridiculous. So I'm putting this out on the table for you guys so you can kind of see where we are right now and where we're going. Now, the thesis that I am throwing out there into the filmmaking community, the thing that I believe to the core of my existence is the future of independent filmmaking, is the future of the survival of independent filmmaking as we know it today, is the entrepreneurial filmmaker, the filmtrepreneur. There's no question about it. Because if you're able to generate multiple revenue streams from your movie, if one dries up, your whole revenue is not dead. See, this is the problem. And this is economics 101. This is investing 101. You should never put all your eggs in one basket. You need to diversify your portfolio. You need to diversify your revenue streams. So when you hand over a movie wholeheartedly to a distributor, which is great, and there are, like I said, I've spoken about many great distributors out there that do good work, and they can be a part of the model that I'm about to present to you. They absolutely could do things because they, you know, people like Indie Rights and Film Hub and these kind of distributors are great, and they can get to places that you can't get to in a self-distribution model. You know, you cannot get into 68 English-speaking territories on Amazon Prime or for rental or purchase. You just can't by yourself. Even if you upload to Amazon by yourself, you know, to direct Amazon Video Direct, you get two territories, three, I think, at tops. So there are benefits with working with a traditional distributor, but as part of an entire ecosystem. And that is what I'm presenting to you. So with a movie, you have to look at it as a complete ecosystem. How can I generate revenue from this movie? You can't just look at it the way we've been taught for years and years and years. The old model is dead. The old model is not built for us. It's not built for independent filmmakers. The model of make a movie, give it to a distributor, and pray that you'll get paid one day, that model doesn't work for us. It might work for the studios because they're the studios and they have their own infrastructure and they have their own distribution. So it works for them because they control their entire ecosystem globally. Globally. Disney has distribution in England and in Europe and in Asia, and they have it all. So they can make things like that work. We can't. We're dependent too much on outside companies, outside sources. So you have to diversify your revenue streams. So there are multiple ways of doing that. And I won't go into every single detail in this episode, but I want you to start thinking about how you can generate more revenue from your films. And I argue that this conversation needs to be happening at the beginning stages of your movie. At the very beginning stages of your movie, you need to start thinking, how am I going to be able to make money with this? And that's the problem with a lot of artists like myself and every filmmaker. We don't want to think about that. We just want to make our art and hopefully we'll get some money back at the end of the day. And that's great. But unfortunately, our canvas and our paintbrushes are too damn expensive. Okay? We're just too expensive. So you have to think. You have to think about the economic impact of what you're doing. If it's your money and you don't care, God bless, be an artist. But if it's somebody else's money, my God, you better have some sort of fiscal responsibility to that investor or to the people who believed enough in you to put money into whatever you're doing. So I'm sure you're asking, Alex, how do you create more revenue with your movie? If you're smart about how you present your movie, if you're smart about how you put it all together, how you position the project, who is your niche audience, who is the audience that you're focusing on, and you can start creating products for that audience based on your movie. Products like, obviously, the low-hanging fruit, t-shirts, hats, things like that. You can use the, like I use this example all the time. If you're making a horror movie and you've been able to build out a community around your horror film, would it make sense that if you made an 80s slasher film that you would make a hat that says, I love 80s horror, like Drew Marvick did with his film Bloody Massacre, Bloody Pool Massacre, or Pool Party Massacre. I forgot which one. I think it's Pool Party Massacre. He was able to do that, and he was able to create multiple product lines that still generate revenue for him. Is he retiring off this? No, you don't have to. That's not the way business works. So many filmmakers think that they have, like, every one movie is the lottery ticket that has to put them away for life. Does that happen every once in a while? Sure. Once every decade? You know, seriously. People still bringing up Paranormal Activity. People still bring up Blair Witch or El Mariachi, for God's sakes. Those are outliers, man. They're not what, that's not the way it works. For every Uber or for every Airbnb that explodes, or Beyond Meat now with the plant-based burgers, for every one of those companies, there is thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of companies who try and fail. And there's also tens of thousands of companies who are able to generate revenue and build and support their families and grow. And some of them will grow to massive scales. Other of them will stay making money for many, many years to come. And that's how you have to look at it. You have to look at this as the long game, guys. You have to look at this as the long game. So you could start building revenue by creating different product lines. So low-hanging fruit, t-shirts and hats. How about online courses you can build out for different things, educational products you can build out based on your niche, specific product lines. Like if you had a swimming documentary, you can create swim caps that are specific to that audience that have your logo on it. People will buy that. If you have a spiritual movie or a spiritual documentary, does it make sense to build out meditation products, yoga products, things like that, things that that audience would be interested in? Sure. How about building out services or selling services like Brad Olson, the filmmaker behind Off the Tracks, which is a documentary about Final Cut Pro X, for God's sakes. You know, not a very broad spectrum movie, but hell, he was able to make not only money with it, but he's able to sell his services. He's able to establish himself as a thought leader in his space in the world of editing. And he's been able to generate revenue by getting gigs. It doesn't all have to be so black and white. You've got to think creatively. And this, by doing what I'm telling you guys, if you start thinking like filmtrepreneurs, you are going to be in much better shape when something happens to our industry, when something happens economically or an economic downturn or something happens. You'll be more resilient. Your projects will be more resilient because you're diversified. And if you're able to do 2, 3, 4, 5 of these kinds of projects and own all of them, put them all in your portfolio, and you're able to generate multiple revenue streams from all of these projects. And I'm not talking you have to have $500,000 movies. Look at me. This Is Meg cost me, I think, between $5,000 and $8,000, somewhere along those lines. And this On the Corner of Ego and Desires cost me around $3,000. And I'm able to generate revenue from both of those films and continue to generate revenue from them, multiple sources of revenue from them. Here and there, doing different things. I'm talking about them right now on this podcast, which has helped me generate revenue through my sponsorships. There's so many ways you have to think about how you can make money with your movie. And I know out there there's, right, and I've already had these conversations with filmmakers. They're like, oh, Alex, I'm a filmmaker. I don't want to think about building an online course for my movie. Great. Don't. If you don't want to, don't. Go with God. Godspeed to you, my friend. If that's not what you want to do, don't do it. But don't complain when you're not able to generate revenue in the old model. Don't complain when you're never able to make another movie again because you didn't think of the economics behind what you're doing. If you're thinking about making movies purely as an artist, understand that that revenue, the money that you're, or the budget that you're putting into that money is at risk. It's at risk anyway. But if you're cool with that, then Godspeed, man. I'm not telling you have to do anything. But unless you have independent sources of income, first of all, and independent sources of money that can finance all of your creative endeavors, you're going to have to figure out some sort of business model that's going to be able to sustain you throughout your career. Again, if you're rich, mommy and daddy's paying for it all the time, God bless, man. You got a trust fund? Do it. You made a lot of money in real estate and this is what you want to do now? You don't care about making money there? Cool. Fine. But for the rest of us, I'm trying to put out a model. I'm trying to put out a method of a way for filmmakers to make money, real money every month. If it's $5 here, $20 there, $100 here, $5,000 there. Every month coming in. That's what I want for every single filmmaker, everybody in the tribe that wants to make a movie. That's what I want for you. To make a living doing with what doing what you love to do. Making a living. Not being super wealthy, not living in the Hollywood Hills somewhere or in a mansion or driving, flying out in private jets. Sure, if that happens, great. But if it doesn't, can you put food on your table? Can you pay your rent? Can you support your family or yourself? And can you do the art that you want to do? And can you make a, and that's what you dedicate your life to, is just doing your art. Man, I think that's a win. I don't know about you, but that's a win for me. You can get paid to do what you love to do and support your family and make, put a little money away and pay the bills and do what you love to do. Man, isn't that the dream? And wouldn't it be amazing that when you make one product, that product still generates revenue for you years down the line? It just continues to generate revenue for you if you set everything up right. And then as new technologies come up and new opportunities come up to generate revenue, you can bring that out of your portfolio and start creating other revenue sources again. You know who does this, guys? The studios. I mean, look at Disney. Disney's still making money with Snow White every single day. Someone somewhere in the world is buying a t-shirt or a product that has Snow White on it, or has bought the movie, rented the movie, or is watching it on a streaming platform somewhere, probably going to be on Disney Plus. But they're still generating revenue off of their entire portfolio, their library of films. Why can't we do something similar? The world is in a place where we have more access than ever before, access to affordable technology that makes our films look very high quality, much more so than years ago. So we have access to affordable, high-end cinema production. We have access to the consumer. We have access to the consumer. We can self-distribute our films, or we can partner with strategic partners like Film Hub or Indie Rights to help us get the movies out into certain platforms, where then we can in turn use that momentum to sell ancillary products or services. It's here, guys. We can do it. You have to also understand marketing. You have to understand crowdsourcing, crowdfunding possibly, audience building, social media networking, social media marketing, all of those things. These are all elements that a film entrepreneur needs to understand. You might not have to be perfect at it. You can hire people to do it, but you need to be educated in every aspect of it. This is the new world, guys. This is the new world for independent filmmakers. The world that I was raised in, the world of Robert Rodriguez, Quentin Tarantino, Richard Linklater, Kevin Smith, John Singleton, Steven Soderbergh in the 90s, growing up in the Sundance era or in the film festival era, those filmmakers, that time is gone. Just like Scorsese, Coppola, Spielberg, Lucas, De Palma, Milius, that time is gone. Those were windows of time that are gone now. The window that we're in right now is the era of the filmtrepreneur, the era of the filmmaker who knows how to generate revenue with their films outside of this legacy model that is not built or designed to benefit us in any way. Before, you could throw a movie star on a poster and sell it. Those days are nil to none. I mean, Brad Pitt just opened a movie a week or two ago. Brad Pitt, one of the large, biggest movie stars in the world. I'm a huge fan of Brad Pitt. But you know what? Downton Abbey beat him. Downton Abbey. A British movie about, I don't even know because I'm not a Downton Abbey fan, but it's like, you know, very British things in a castle. And they beat them with no major stars in it. Why? Because it was a niche. It's a niche audience, an audience that was passionate about them, passionate about that TV show. And that overpowered any star power that Brad Pitt might have had. So those days are not, well, I mean, you could put Tom Cruise in a movie. You could put Will Smith in a movie. There's a handful. There's not many of these movie stars around anymore that really do any major things. I mean, everyone talks about Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr., who is amazing, but you put him outside of the Iron Man suit, it's a challenge. He had movies outside. Same thing with Chris Evans. Same thing with Chris Hemsworth. All of the guys of the Avengers. You put them outside of the Marvel universe, and they don't have the same impact. So that model is not what it used to be. I remember that you could put Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone on a movie and it guaranteed $30 million opening weekend just purely because of their face. Those days are gone. These models that we were raised with, these models that we grew up with are no longer valid, especially not valid for independent filmmakers. You have to think differently. You have to think outside the box. You have to think like a filmtrepreneur. You have to think about how you're going to make money with your movie if you intend to move forward and make a living doing this. I want this to become a movement. I want this to become just like the French New Wave, just like Cine Verite, just like all these different kinds of movements in film. I want filmtrepreneur to become a movement. The movement of when filmmakers took control of their own destiny and started to make the art that they wanted to make without any interference from outside sources and able to self-sustain their own career. And imagine the art that we can create as a community if money was not as big of an issue as it is today. If we can create businesses, we can create systems where we can just generate movie after movie, doing whatever we want, aiming it at a niche audience. Because by the way, the future is not broad, guys. For independent filmmaking, if you are not making a movie for a niche audience, for an audience that's specific, that you're trying to target, that you can actually target, and don't tell me romantic comedy is a niche or horror by itself is a niche. It's too broad. You've got to go down. You've got to niche down. And I explain all of this in my new book, and I'll talk about the book again in a little bit. But there's, without understanding that concept, you will lose. I think in general, the whole industry is going to go towards a curated niche style of content delivery. Because look at Disney Plus. Disney Plus, which is coming out next year, is going to be arguably a niche. Anybody interested in Disney, Star Wars, Marvel, Pixar, or National Geographic style shows and movies, those are five niches all under one complete package, which is Disney Plus. They're not going to be doing massive, giant, you know, horror movies or act. That's not the brand. They're going to be aiming at the family niche. Now, that's a very large niche, but they're Disney. They can do something like that. These very broad services are going to have a tough time. I don't know what the future is of Netflix. They're spending a heck of a lot of money on original content, and they're doing great work, and they're allowing filmmakers to do cool stuff. We'll see. But unlike Disney, Netflix has arguably one revenue stream. That's all that company really has, is one revenue stream, which is subscriptions. So if the fit hits the shan and subscribers go down, the company goes down. Sure, they have some merchandising for Stranger Things and some other shows. That's nothing comparative to what their main revenue stream is, which is subscriptions. But Disney is so diversified through thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of products and revenue streams throughout its entire ecosystem that if Disney Plus folds, they could take a hit. They're fine because they're diversified. So be aware of that. Be very, very careful about that. Same thing happens for any business that is dedicated on one revenue stream and one revenue stream alone. There is a potential for it to go down. So these film aggregators, if their entire business plan is based around film aggregation, selling those services, if for whatever reason that dries up, those companies go down. They go down and they take anybody with them. They take anybody that signed up with them down with them. It happens with Distributor. It will happen again. We will be back here again in another flavor within the next 5 or 10 years. It will happen again. So if you have a diversified revenue stream portfolio, if you will, based off your movies. If money coming in from rentals and sales and SVOD and AVOD dry up for whatever reason, you're still able to generate revenue from other places. Hell, my first little short film, Broken, I'm still making money with. I got so many, I built an entire post-production company based around a short film in 2005. And completely was focused on independent filmmakers of a like micro budget and low budget filmmakers doing visual effects, editing, color grading, post supervising, all that kind of stuff for them. I built an entire business that kept food on my table and my rent paid for over a like 15 years now? Almost 14 to 15 years that kept food on my table off of one short film because I diversified my revenue streams. That is kind of the origins of being a film entrepreneur for me. That's when the model was created in my world. So I hope this episode's really kind of woken you up a little bit, and I really hope it shakes you. I really do. This is one of those semi-tough love episodes because I don't want to see what's happening out there right now to so many filmmakers because of this distributor horrible, devastating situation. I don't want to see this happen again. I don't want to see everybody put all their eggs in one basket. I want them to be able to have a diversified revenue plan for all of their films and to think of it in that manner. And if you don't want to do the work, I'm sorry. This is just the realities of where this is going. If you don't want to do it, like I said before, don't do it. But you'll be better positioned being a film entrepreneur than you will be just being a filmmaker and working in the old legacy model. I hope this makes sense to you guys. I hope you take no offense to it. I want you to use this, these ideas to help you on your path. So I've put all of my ideas down in my new book, Rise of the Film Entrepreneur, How to Make Your Independent Film into a Money-Making Business. It's coming out in November, early November. I've already handed it over to my book editor. She is working on it feverishly, and we will be releasing it in November after my boot camp. So that book has, it's an entire blueprint on everything I've talked about. I go into real deep, deep ideas, methods on how to do this and include multiple case studies of filmmakers and film entrepreneurs who are using these methods and are making some making a good living, others building empires with literally million-dollar empires off of these concepts. So I really do hope that you, first of all, I hope everybody gets the book. And I'm not just doing this as a sales pitch. I just hope it helps. I really do. If you want to pre-order it, just head over to www.filmbizbook.com. That's filmbizbook.com. It's available on Amazon for pre-order. It will be available everywhere else after it gets released. Or you can go to the show notes at indiefilmhustle.com/351. And I'll have links there plus links to shows and episodes talking about being a film entrepreneur, talking about predatory distributors, talking about film aggregators and all the things that we're dealing with. And by the way, we're going to have some amazing interviews coming up in the next week in regards to distribution, self-distribution, the whole film aggregator debacle with distributor and all of these things. I'm going to be having a very deep conversation with some special guests coming up in the next week or so. So I really hope you guys listen to that. This is such an imperative conversation to have right now, and this is such an important time. We are at, I feel we're at the edge of the cliff right now, and it's our job as filmmakers to figure out how to take control of our own destinies. I've done that most of my life by being a freelancer, a business owner, and now running Indie Film Hustle, Bulletproof Screenwriting, Film Entrepreneur, and all the other companies that I run. You have to create your own thing. You have to create your own revenue. Take control of what you're doing. Take control of your art form. Take control of your business. I've said it 1,000 times on this show, and I'll say it again. I've stolen this line from Suzanne Lyons, a film producer friend of mine, which says the word show and there's the word business. And the word business has twice as many letters as the word show. And there's a reason for it, guys. If you want to be a part-time filmmaker, this is not for you. You want to do like movies on the side, make a movie every 3 or 4 years, good for you. God bless. But if you want to make a living doing what you love to do, and you believe that that's capable of being done, because it is, because I do it, and I know many other filmmakers who do it, but every single one of the filmmakers that I know that is making a living doing what they love to do, in the independent space, in the very independent space, has taken control of their own destiny in one way, shape, or form. They've built out relationships, or they've been able to understand how to become a film entrepreneur. So I wish you guys all the luck in the world. Please stay tuned for some amazing interviews coming up. I'm super excited. We got some Halloween episodes that are going to bring a smile to your face and educate you as well. So thank you all so much for the outpouring of support and the great vibes that everyone's sending me in regards to this whole Distribber thing and the work that I'm doing with Distribber and getting the word out. You know, we did, if you haven't heard, we got an article written up on Variety, picked up an article finally. No, Film School picked up a couple articles already. And I know IndieWire is going to be releasing a massive article, which I've been in contact with them multiple times in regards to that. So I really want this word to get out and about not only with Distribber, but what the implications are for the future for all filmmakers and all independent filmmakers specifically. So I do appreciate all of the everybody's support of this. And if you do see some content in regards to the Distribber situation, please forward it to anybody you know that's in this process of making a movie, about to sell a movie, have their movie with Distribber and they haven't heard about it yet, and so on. Thank you again. As always, keep that hustle going. Keep that dream alive. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Indie Film Hustle podcast at IndieFilmHustle.com. That's IndieFilmHustle.com.